Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners. Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to Michael Steele Podcast. We've been having this wonderful conversation with my friend Jason Atkinson, who was instrumental in pulling off and getting in motion one of the largest restoration project in U.S. history along the Klamath River, running from Oregon to Northern California. So now, Jason, I want to flip the script and talk about your walk in faith and how that has translated into this novel concept called Pastor's Monday, in which you basically gather pastors. And just for folks to know, most priests, ministers, imam, religious leaders take Monday off. That's their mm-hmm. weekend. I know growing up and even to this day, the priest in my parish, Monday, they're generally not at the rectory. They take the downtime, the me time. Mm-hmm. You have come up with this concept going back to the pandemic year 2020 of creating this outlet for pastors to go fly fishing. Tell us about this and what it's doing and how it's working, because it is phenomenally popular. It is growing like wildfire among pastors, not just in Oregon where this began, but now seemingly across the country.
Well, yeah, thank you. And I'm still a little bit in shock about your sources and your research there. but yeah, Pastor's Monday, it was a concept that really came out of a lot of pain. But as you and I both know, when you're in politics, you know everybody.
Right.
But you have no friends.
Yes.
And
so true.
And so true. Your phone never rings with good news. Your phone only rings with bad news and people wanting something from you. And if you think about the role of a pastor, it's the exact same thing. They know everybody. They have no friends. And who can they talk to? Who can they relate to? Well, they can't really relate to anybody in their church, and certainly not anybody in the leadership of their church, because the people in their church are looking to them as, you know, spiritual perfection. And people who, you know, work in their church are complaining about, should we wear masks to church? Should we have a new parking lot? What about the kids? The music's too loud or whatever.
Right.
So I had a real sensitivity to pastor. So behind my side story, behind my there's a handwritten note here from the President of the United States thanking me for a fly rod that I gave him. And I gave the president this custom fly rod for a company I was helping to develop fly rods for, and he loved it. And every time he saw me, he wanted to talk about it. when we started Pastor Monday, people said, well, we've got this old thing in the garage that we've never used, and it was our grandfather's. Would you like it for the pastors? And people were very generous, and you know, because we were a startup and I had no money to do all this. But I was so convicted, Steele. I was so convicted because I thought about it for just, you know, for a while. And I'm like, so the president of the United States, who gets all the press, who gets the very best that the country has to offer, who has a bigger impact in every community?
All right.
The president or the pastor of 50 people? And I was so convicted by that because, you know, of course, you know, if you turn on the news, you hear about the mega pastor, or you hear about a screw up, or you hear something that kind of makes you cringe a little bit. But the fact of the matter is that pastors as a group are the most important overlooked leader in every community. There is no issue facing culture that they don't have to have an opinion on or make a decision about.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we know that the burnout rate, and there's a lot of statistics on this right now, 42% of people who are in ministry want to quit, especially after the pandemic. I had no idea how big the suicide rate was.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea the lonely, well, actually I did have an idea, but you know, certainly learn more about the loneliness that these leaders face. And if there's an issue before a group of people, I don't care if it's AA or senior citizens or kids that need to go to camp, certainly the spiritual needs of a community, it all falls on this one person who is solely unprepared for all of these issues.
Right, right.
I mean, you and I went to school for this stuff. You know, right. You and I have got, we interned, we've been around politics. We know it inside and out. But a pastor, you know, maybe they went to, you know, seminary. Maybe that doesn't mean they know, understand all this other stuff.
Right.
This pressure. So we started this thing to just as an, actually there's I've been involved in fly fishing more than I'd ever admit my whole life. And have developed somewhat of a reputation, which is a little awkward and yet flattering. And there was this person who wanted to learn how to do this kind of cast that I do, which is a two-handed fly rod.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to learn how to do this. And he had Monday, and he said, how about Monday? And I really didn't want to be around. I was kind of trying to get away. When I go to the river, I don't want to be around people. Right. He was persistent. And we had to go on Monday because he was a pastor of a church. And so it turned into this joke that I have to fish the pastor on Monday. Well, I really ended up enjoying this person's company a lot. And we went the next Monday and the next Monday and the next Monday. And eventually I was challenged by, well, what happens if I add another pastor? And then we formalized it. We set up a 501c3 and we did all that. Last year, over 300 pastors came between Oregon and North Texas.
Wow.
In 2 months, we opened North Carolina. And what it is we serve the pastor as if they're the president of the United States. So back to what we're talking about in the first segment, there's no sarcasm. No sarcasm.
Right.
We treat the pastor with absolute respect. There is no program. We're not forcing anybody into a conversation where they have to be authentic and transparent. Maybe they don't want to talk. Fine with us. Maybe they do. It's up to them. It's their day. We're just there to serve. So we curate the finest fly fishing experience you can have, but we don't orchestrate. We leave that part up to the Almighty to orchestrate who needs to be there. We had forest fires come through. This one pastor, let's just say of a blue collar church, 12 families in his church lost everything Friday night. The next Monday, he seated next to a pastor of a white collar church, different denomination, 20 years his junior, totally different, same league, different teams. by the time they get off together on Pastor Monday, families have houses again.
Mm-hmm.
That happens every Monday. We had a pastor whose wife passed away from cancer. He found a support group in these other pastors because they speak the same language. We had a pastor whose son got mixed up in drugs. Well, who does he talk to?
Right.
Well, he happened to be seated next to somebody who's, you know, 10 years further down the road on that issue and now is a friend. So it just keeps happening. Why fly fishing? Well, it's simple. You know, God never called golfers.
Let me write that 90. Down because I could not agree more with that sentiment.
So there's fly fishing is beautiful. It's aspirational, but it's cost prohibitive. It's expensive.
Right.
And so we take that away. We give away when a pastor comes with us, they're in the finest waders, they're with the finest rods, they're with the very best guides, the very best, highest level of guiding is what we provide, even though 95% of those who come with us have never done it before. They don't know the standard that we're providing, but we do.
Right.
And it's up to us to do all things, you know, the best of our ability. So we serve. And
you know, as a former seminarian, I really do appreciate that outlet being created for these men and women who give their service in such a unique and personal way, because a lot of people don't really consider what the priest or the pastor, the imam or the rabbi have to go through, whether they're celibate or married. It doesn't matter. The tensions, the pressures are the same. And so who serves them? Who is allowing for them to be frail and to be human and to be vulnerable in a way that is healing so that they can then go out and do that for others? And that's when you first told me about this, I immediately got it. As you may recall, I was I was like all about it. And because it is one of those areas of our lives that we take a lot of it for granted, or we don't know anything about it at all. And those men and women in that position really don't have that outlet. And as you like to joke, you know, you want to take these fishers of men and teach them to be fishers of fish. and there's something really basic and honest about that. You know, it's this growth that you're now beginning to see. What does that tell you about where we are culturally and so forth, and how these pastors are sort of dealing with and evolving in this new space where, like you, as you set this up, you know, they're sitting there having one parishioner say to them, you know, why are we having to wear masks? And another parishioner says, I'm not coming back to church until you do.
Yeah.
You know,
I think,
how do they walk that line?
Culturally, I think we're at this really interesting inflection point in culture where a lot of American churches are reflecting culture rather than leading culture. And our culture today is very divided, you know, and there's this constant thing that we do, especially Republicans in particular, where you're not enough of something. You're not conservative enough. You're not enough of whatever. And I think that same pressure is translated into these leaders also. And, you know, we're even on Sunday, I think it was Martin Luther King. I should know that it's Martin Luther King who said, you know, the most segregated time in America is, you know, 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. And we still have that. So I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure. I think there's a tremendous amount of burnout. I am shocked with the suicide rate. I am shocked with the loneliness of leadership that that these people feel. But the demand has outstripped the supply. So there's a lot of things out there where, you know, let's take care of the pastor and they can go somewhere for a week. Well, what happens the other 51 weeks?
Right.
So our model, pastors don't have time to take off for a week, and they don't have money. If they did have time, they wouldn't have, you know, $3,000, right, $4,000. So what we do is we go every Monday. So it's very easy. It's supposed to be local. So there's not airplanes involved. That's why the chapters are getting set up around the country. They might drive an hour or two, but and we limit it. We limit it in how many can go. So it's not a conference. You know, it's interesting, Steele, you and I used to go to these things and we would be the speaker, right?
Right.
So you and I were always on stage. We were always the speaker. But what happens if you're not the speaker? You go to a conference and you're not, then the first thing you do is you start saying either, I want to be the speaker, I want to be on stage, I want to be famous, or what's wrong with me that I'm not on the stage and I'm not famous?
Right.
So you take these pastors and you put them in a conference and they actually leave worse than they feel worse after than
right.
before they went. And so we treat everyone who comes with us as if they are the president of the United States. We treat them the utmost respect and honor. And then you're doing something ridiculous. You're throwing wads of chicken feathers, known as flies, uh-huh. at fish. It could not be more simple, but it's beautiful. There's no noise. Your cell phone is off and you're actually being treated with respect. And the thing is that the demand keeps growing because pastors don't have that.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Retaliation with Julie Roginski is a weekly podcast focused on the stories of women who have spoken truth to power and have persevered despite the costs. It shares the experiences of courageous people who have sometimes been celebrated, but too often castigated for standing up for themselves and for others. Each week, I examine the structures, systems, and culprits responsible for perpetuating and promoting workplace toxicity. You'll hear stories from female celebrities, music label executives, politicians, police officers, and many others as we examine the cultural reevaluations, policy changes, and legal steps that can finally bring an end to the ongoing attack on women in this country and around the world. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.